Let me find the story here. I've been too busy looking at funny memes to get my stories in order. What happens is I get them all in order. Here we go. And then things change as the show progresses, and I got to rearrange things when I get a chance to do so. The governor of Michigan, Whitmer, she is really public relations wise, stepped in at one time after another up there in Michigan, and it has caused quite a backlash. Now, frankly, I don't know in terms of her electability within her state what overall impact this will have, but she and her husband have gotten themselves into a public relations hiccup once again. And it had to do with her husband trying to get special treatment because he's the governor's husband regarding an activity that the governor was advising people not to participate in. And now first it was denied, and now, well, he was just joking. So I want to update you on that because, frankly, when I first heard this story, I didn't say anything because I thought, I don't know. This could easily be made up, but it's appearing more and more as if it's true. Don Luzader is here with news.
And good morning. Mercy Springfield says it is furloughing 700 workers because of COVID-19. Mercy telling the state on Friday that 116 of those jobs will be permanently cut. The cuts will affect everyone from entry-level positions to management. Another 660 workers at Mercy up in St. Louis are also affected. The grandmother of Nathan Sneed, an inmate who escaped from the Greene County Jail Monday night, says she was attacked by a deputy's canine as authorities searched her home. Kathy Meredith says she had to have surgery on her arm to take care of a gash she suffered when a canine attacked her. Now, Sheriff Jim Arnott says this is the first time one of his canines has bit an innocent bystander. The canine also bit its handler as the deputies tried to pry the dog off of Meredith's arm.
Not good.
Not good. Governor Parson moving up the date when voters will decide whether to expand Medicaid health care coverage in the state. The governor says he's putting the ballot issue on the August 4th ballot instead of the November general election ballot. Missouri's Medicaid program currently doesn't cover most adults without children and has one of the nation's lowest income eligibility thresholds for parents. That is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert forecast. Cloudy. 50% chance of showers, thunderstorms today, a high of 75. Chance of showers and storms tonight, low of 60. Showers, possibly a thunderstorm tomorrow with a high of 75. And Friday, mostly sunny and 76. That's what some people would consider to be absolutely perfect weather. 64 and cloudy. We here at Springfield's Talk 104.1, along with Junior's Plumbing, Citizens Memorial Hospital, and Dozied Place. Want to help re-energize business here in the Ozarks with a $30,000 business bounce back contest inviting local business owners to register for the chance to win part of $30,000 in free marketing services. $30,000, that is, in free marketing services. Grand prize winner get $15,000 of that. Second place, $10,000 of that. Third place, $5,000 in that. Register your business now. Find all the details at ksgf.com. Incidentally, we are, hopefully, sooner than later, going to, once again, be doing our lunch bunch at Doe's Eat Place. At this point, it's mostly our restrictions that are pushing that down the road a little bit, though, Springfield, of course, has locked down all of these businesses, and then, they're slowly taking their knee off the neck of restaurants and allowing certain capacities. And so it's not as easy as, all right, you're open. You're allowed to open again and everything pick up where it left off. But we will be back to doing our lunch bunch at some point with those. That being said, they are doing dinner. And if you are, I don't know if they're open for lunch right yet, but I know that they are open for. You were there for dinner. Do you know if they were open for lunch? Did they mention that?
I am not sure.
All right,
but I can find
out. Did you have steak?
I did. I had one of their KC strips, medium rare.
Dang. What'd you guys do?
Delicious.
What'd you do? Find a suitcase with money, getting a KC strip. My goodness, that's fancy.
Actually, it was one of their specials.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was it good?
It was delicious.
And it was your fiance's first time there, wasn't it?
Yes. I've been asking him to go with us quite some time, and he's, no, no. And I told him,
He doesn't like to watch me eat?
I guess so. I don't know. But I told him, I said, you are going to regret all of the times that you didn't go with us when I asked.
That's the irony of it. By enjoying it, he will be devastated knowing all of the times that he missed enjoying it.
Yeah. I sent you that photo of us in the parking lot. I was really excited.
I was excited for you.
I know. I was excited.
Well,
I've been
telling
you every
day. Did he like it?
Yes.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Well, of course he's going to, unless there's something wrong with him. Which, arguably, there may be.
Maybe.
All right, let me get the stories all straight here. I mentioned Virginia Northam. He has apologized for not wearing a mask at a beach. He wasn't prepared. Well, that's no excuse. How can you not be prepared when you're the person ordering everyone in your state around, millions of people on what to do? How can you not be prepared? Virginia Governor Ralph Northam admitted on Monday he made a mistake over the weekend by venturing out in Virginia Beach without a mask on during the coronavirus pandemic, saying he takes full responsibility for the gaffe just moments before announcing a statewide mandate requiring people to wear a face mask in public spaces. I love when the left gets caught doing something illegal, unethical, hypocritical, and they say they take full responsibility. The follow-up question that never gets asked is, what does that full responsibility look like? What does that mean when you say full responsibility? What consequences are you going to suffer as part of your full responsibility? Do you know what I find that what they mean when they say I take full responsibility? That means I said I'm sorry, leave me the hell alone and shut up. Everything should continue on as normal. I should not suffer any repercussions because I take full responsibility. Northam visited the beach with Mayor Bobby Dye on the second day of the beach reopening. Virginia Beach's reopening considered a test to see if the people can safely follow social distancing rules before other beaches in Virginia reopen. I mean, does this just not drip with condescension? And I'm not talking about the wording of the story, but the attitude of these people. It's the same attitude that Greene County Springfield had before last weekend, that they were rewarding the people of Springfield by easing up on business regulations. Oh, you get rewarded? Yes, you do, you good little boy and girl. You've been so good. Here's your cookie. So in Virginia, Virginia Beach was reopening, and it's a test to see whether or not they should get rewarded. If they're good little boys and girls, then they too will get to have some more of their freedoms back. Northam, who previously served as an army doctor, came under fire when images of him surfaced on social media not wearing a face mask in close contact with other community members. It was very close. There was no social distancing. Wasn't even 6 inches in some instances. I was outside, saw people who wanted to take pictures, and I wasn't prepared. I was there to talk to officials in the media. I wasn't prepared to talk to the public. Well, so what if you weren't prepared? Now, you know what the expectation, can you imagine? These people are just, the excuses they get to use, so you and I, it would never fly. Let's say I'm a business owner, and I've been ordered to close, and I service people anyhow. You can't do that. We're going to fine you. Am I allowed to say, hey, I wasn't prepared for people to, you know, I was just in there trying to close up, and people came by, and they said, hey, we need to, you know, get a haircut or whatever it may be, and I wasn't prepared for that to happen, so I just cut their hair. No, of course, they'd be told, what does that mean, you weren't prepared? It doesn't matter. You're told not to open. Oh, but if you're Democrat Governor Northam and everyone's supposed to be social distancing and everyone's supposed to be wearing a mask and he's out there and somebody comes up and they want to violate social distancing while he's not wearing a mask, he's allowed to say, well, I wasn't prepared for that, so I just did it anyway. Do you think any citizen is going to be allowed to use that as an excuse? Well, I wasn't prepared. Of course not. But this further indicates something that I have been saying for some time. I don't think that these people believe the situation is as serious as they claim that they believe it is. You can look at it one of two ways. These people are hypocrites, which they obviously are, and or this is a reflection of their lack of belief in their own rhetoric. And that's got to be the only conclusion. Because what is it that they talk about being at stake here? They talk about people's lives being at stake, right? That's the whole reason. We're told that we have to plummet what otherwise was a fantastic economy down to depression era levels. This is why we have to take single moms and close up their shops. This is why we have to take individuals who have had businesses in their families for generations and destroy them. Because if it saves just one life. Now, if you really, truly believe that people's lives are so at risk that you have to destroy an economy and people's lives in order to prevent people from dying, would you be so cavalier about it when it comes to your own actions? Oh, well, they wanted to take a selfie with me, and I didn't have my mask on me. Oh, so how many people have to die, Governor Northrup, before you say, sorry, no selfies, I don't have a mask on? Obviously, he does not believe it is a life or death situation. Obviously, he does not believe that coming within 6 feet of another person without a mask is so dangerous it could lead to another outbreak, because he's doing it himself. Now, you've got up in Michigan this dingbat of a governor, Whitmer. We've got to take a break, and then I want to explain this story. I actually suspect what has happened here. Oh, let me put it this way. I feel sorry for her husband. I can only imagine the conversation that occurred between the two of these individuals. Because of something that he did and he said, she is out there once again trying to explain why she's not an elite hypocrite, holding herself to a much different standard, no standard at all, as opposed to the standard she's holding everyone else to. Here's Parker with traffic. I'm Nick Reed. Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate, when she is hired to work for you, she doesn't just put a sign in the yard and put some listings on. All right, well, I'll show your house to folks. She provides lots of guidance on getting your home ready for the listing, whether that's staging advice, cleaning suggestions, or improvements to enhance the curb appeal. She doesn't hold back to prepare you for selling your home to the highest price and as quickly as possible. She knows that you only get one chance at a first impression. She's like, what do you mean she doesn't hold back? Listen, a house for a lot of people is very personal, particularly if you have put your own time and effort and your own personal touch on it. And a lot of folks, they don't want to hurt people's feelings. You know, the realtor comes over and you're like, oh, I'm going to show you my home I want you to sell. And you're going on and on. Oh, my late husband did, or my father, he built this with his bare hands. And you're really proud of it and thinks that maybe that adds a lot of value, but it might not. Emily Johnson's number one goal is not to make you feel good or proud about the paint color that you picked out or the landscaping job that you did. That's not her interest. Her interest is to help you sell your home the fastest possible, getting you the most money possible. And if that means telling you that color ain't going to work, or this decor over here is not something that people are looking for right now, she's going to tell you that. It's one of the reasons she's so successful at helping people get the most out of their home possible at the quickest rate possible. Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate, 890-1455 is her number. And you can follow her on Facebook. That's Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate. Up in Michigan, there is a company, North Shore Dock LLC, and they, you know, they store boats and they maintain boats. They get boats ready for the season and so forth. And like so many other businesses, they had been artificially shut down by Governor Whitmer. You know, you can't operate. That combined with the fact that she was refusing to allow people the human right to just go out and enjoy themselves on the lake. She banned them from doing so, and so everything was at a standstill. Well, then she decided, because she's such a compassionate queen, that people could once again be rewarded and be allowed to go out on the lake. But she advised them, now, use this newfound freedom responsibly. I don't want you all going out, much like a mother scolding the children. You know, they're going to be left at home for the first time alone. And listen, I don't go eating all the popsicles out of the refrigerator. I don't want to come home. That's what she was telling them. Don't you all go run to the lakes. Go out there just because I'm allowing you to. I don't want everyone misbehaving. Not long after that occurred, someone associated with, it may have been the owner, it's irrelevant, this North Shore Dock LLC, had posted online that he had received a call from someone wanting their boat cleaned up, ready to go out on the water by, you know, the weekend. And he explained to him, listen, we are all backed up. I mean, we just, there's no way. To which the individual said, well, would it help knowing that I am the husband of the governor? Now, the instinct of the business owner was like, that's not only not going to help you, but that ain't, I mean, that's going to put you to the back of the line, not the front of the line, because the entire reason that there's a backup anyway is because of your wife. So he explained, sorry, no go. I mean, it just cannot be done. Well, he posted this experience online, and as you can imagine, this got a lot of attention. I saw this, it was probably over the weekend, but I held my thoughts on it because I thought, oh, well, people can post anything on the internet. It'll vet itself out. Well, it has vetted itself out, and it appears as if this is true. The evolution of this occurred with this gets posted, and of course, the individual, he gets contacted by media and eventually takes it down. He's like, listen, I don't want the hassle on this. At the same time, there was a state senator in Michigan, a Republican state senator by the name of Tom Barrett. And he had shared these postings. And he is now claiming that he was contacted by the governor's office. And the governor's office was telling him that this wasn't true. You know, you need to take this down. Your credibility's on the line. You don't want to be putting all this fake information out there about the governor. And so he relented and he thought, okay, I suppose they seem pretty convincing here. Surely they're not going to just lie straight to my face. And he took it down. Well, he would find out that, in fact, it was true. And he was a little ticked off about it. And he went out there to let the world know. I think he went on some news outlets saying that he was duped into covering up for the governor. Because her office convinced him that the whole thing wasn't true when it was. Well, evidently, there's enough proof out there that she's admitting it happened. But of course, much like Joe Biden making racist comments, it was just a joke. Just a joke. Isn't that funny how often these Democrats joke about things that are highly inappropriate? Yesterday, she said, quote, my husband made a failed attempt at humor last week when checking in with a small business that helps with our boat and dock up north. Knowing it wouldn't make a difference, of course. He joked. I mean, this is the most insulting part about it. The crap. This is how stupid she thinks the people of Michigan are. Knowing it wouldn't make any difference at all. He jokingly asked if being married to me might move him up in the queue. Obviously, with the motorized boating prohibition in our early days of COVID-19, he thought it might get a laugh. Oh, yes. Calling a business owner that has suffered tremendously because of his wife, he thought, you know what would be hilarious if I played off that? It would be just such a laugh if I joked about the fact that their livelihood was swirling down the drain because of my wife's order. Yep, boy, we're all going to have a great laugh down at the dock over this one. These people are insultingly stupid. She pointed out it didn't get the laugh. And to be honest, I wasn't laughing either when it was relayed to me because I knew how it would be perceived. So she knew that the ignorant fools of Michigan would misunderstand the joke, and that made her upset. Whether it's Northam with the mask or Whitmer, or I mean, they're constantly getting caught doing the things that they claim are going to kill us all, violating the very rules that they set up. This is another, I'm telling you now, this is another reason that Lake of the Ozarks had record numbers of people out there, because people across the country are seeing these individuals that are the figureheads of everything need to shut down, behaving in a way that completely violates what they're ordering everyone else to do. And it tells people either it isn't as serious as they're claiming, or screw you, if you can do it, I can too. And this is just another example of it. I tell you what, though. Can you imagine the conversation between her and her husband when he had to admit that he did this? Because I'm sure he just caught and, you know, threw that around, name dropped, and didn't work. And the next thing he knows, it's on the internet. She's finding out about it. She's demanding answers and coming to him and say, did you do him having to say, oh, yeah, I did do that. Oh, boy. I suspect behind closed doors, she might be a little Hillary Clinton-esque, if you know what I mean, when dealing with her husband and his activities that make her look bad in the public eye. Quick break. We've got traffic as well. I'm Nick Reed. Don Luzader with news.
Good morning. It's going to be about 48 hours before we finally get rid of this rainfall. And when we do, by the way, it'll be gone for almost a week. Scattered thunderstorms, though, are expected today. Heavy rain will be possible with those storms, which may lead to some localized flooding. Additional scattered thunderstorms will be possible on Thursday into Thursday evening. Again, heavy rain may cause some localized flooding. It's all expected to be out of here, though, by Friday morning. And both today and tomorrow, forecasters are saying no severe weather is expected. And the grandmother of Nathan Snead, an inmate who escaped from the Greene County Jail Monday night, needing surgery and staples to fix a wound she suffered after a canine from the sheriff's office attacked her. Sheriff Jim Arnott says it's the first time one of his canines has bit an innocent bystander and says we're trying to take care of any issues that we have. He says it's one of those situations that's very unfortunate. The grandmother led deputies and the canine into her home after authorities were concerned Snead would show up after his escape. Snead was taken into custody late that night.
So I guess they probably have, I wonder if they have the highway patrol interrogate the dog, you know, so there's no conflict there.
There would be a conflict of interest if the handler had to interrogate the dog when they're
Dude.
Yeah, what were you thinking?
You got to help me understand this.
Yeah.
But you definitely want whomever does that to not be a Greene County affiliate.
No.
A lot of times I think they do use the highway patrol if there's some sort of officer-involved incident.
Right.
So I imagine that'll be the case here.
Okay. I'll see what I can find out about
speculation.
That.
Yes. What's the dog's name?
It doesn't say.
Okay.
Sorry.
I mean, not that it matters. Plus, we don't. He's innocent until proven guilty.
In a court of law.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. 50% chance of showers, thunderstorms today, high of 75. Chance of showers, storms tonight, 60. Showers, possibly a storm tomorrow, 75. And then, as Don mentioned, perhaps sun with a high of 76. Saturday, sunny 76. Sunday, sunny 77. So this is going to be that weekend you've all been waiting for. If you like sunshine in mid to upper 70s. 64 and cloudy now. Oh, I want to mention My friends Mark and Barbara, they mentioned that they yesterday had lunch at Doe's Eat Place. So I knew that they had been open for dinner. Sarah and her fiance had gone there last week at some point, and I wasn't sure. I thought that they were open for lunch, but I didn't want to declare that and have people run over there quickly. But thank you, Mark and Barbara, for letting me know that they are, in fact, open for lunch. I mentioned the most recent stories, and it's consistently these Democrat governors that display hypocrisy. You know, rules for me, rules for you. Governor Northam of Virginia, and going out, taking photos with people, hanging out with people, not wearing a mask, not social distancing. And, of course, he's sorry, so it's okay. You've got Governor Whitmer in Michigan, her husband calling up wanting to be bumped to the head of the line when it comes to having their boat fixed up and ready for the water ahead of everyone else who's had to wait because of her orders. Then, of course, he was just joking. The New Mexico governor, who is a Democrat, made a little blip here, a little blip there locally in New Mexico because she had issued a lockdown of what she deemed to be non-essential businesses and one of those non-essential business categories or jewelry stores. KRQE news anchor Jessica Garrade reported late Tuesday, I think this is some couple weeks back, that the governor called an employee at Lily Barrick, which is a jewelry store, in order to buy expensive jewelry. So the jewelry store is bought over the phone. The employee went to the store, had to go in, get the jewelry, place it outside the door of the store where someone who knew the governor came and picked it up. So in other words, she got to go buy jewelry from a jewelry store as governor when nobody else could. Not long after the mayor of Chicago said you cannot be open if you cut hair. No one gets haircuts. She gets her haircut and takes a selfie with the gal cutting her hair and posts it online. And then when people call her out for her hypocrisy, she's like, well, I'm the face of Chicago. I take my grooming very seriously as opposed to everyone else in Chicago. For a lot of folks, it's inconceivable that she would post that online. But I'm telling you, you've got to understand these people, they are so arrogant and so elite, it never crosses their mind that they should have to follow the same rules. So they tell on themselves because they don't think anything of it. Those are the instances we know of. I mean, you notice virtually every one of these folks who are in charge of making it illegal for you to get your hair cut or your nails done all seem remarkably groomed at their press conferences, don't they? They all just seem amazingly beautiful and kept together. It's just amazing how well they do that. I'm sure they've learned on YouTube how to do it themselves. An issue that has made headlines the last couple of days, today is one of the top stories, and I haven't talked much about for reasons I'll explain, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it, and this is this situation with the Minneapolis police and this George Floyd. George Floyd, there was an attempt to arrest him, and during the interaction, I'm trying to use the least inflammatory words as possible, there were four police officers that were attempting to arrest, to subdue the individual. They were having a difficult time doing so. The method that they used in order to try and get him under control, among other things, was for one officer to put his knee on the neck of George Floyd. George Floyd, among other things, said he couldn't breathe. He would end up dying. Officers have all been fired, and this has been expedited because video has gotten out of this incident. Now, this, of course, has turned into the usual reaction, and that is assault all police officers, accuse all police officers of being racist, throw bottles at police officers, cause all sorts of damage, block traffic of citizens who are simply trying to go to work, create total chaos. So that's where we are. And then declarations that every black person in this country is in danger of this happening to him or her. Gayle King declaring that it's a danger to be a black man in America. Now, I have waited to talk about this because I learned that oftentimes there are additional facts that come along the way that don't necessarily alter the ultimate conclusion. But still, I just am very big on waiting until you get at least some information. Sometimes in incidents like this, we find out that the people who do autopsies and they find out that, you know, that when they died, their heart essentially exploded because they were on so many different drugs, and it wasn't the restraint itself that caused it. Had the restraint occurred under non-drug-induced circumstances, the individual would have been fine. But, you know, it was the drugs that did it. Now, does that mean that by default the situation was handled properly? No, it doesn't mean that. But my point is, this is why investigations are done, to find out all the information possible. We don't just say, get a rope. We don't allow the mob to dictate guilt. We don't do that in this country. Well, we're not supposed to do that in this country. I don't care the race of the person. We used to do that in this country, and we decided we don't want to do it any longer. There was a time in this country where if a mob of white people declared a black person to be guilty, particularly in some geographical areas of the country, there wasn't a need for a trial. There'd be one for show, but let's just go ahead and take care of justice now. We have all the information we need and we want. We decided culturally that that is not how things are done in this country. Now, we've gone back to those days. Roles are switched around a little bit. Doesn't make it right. But there are a couple other things that I just wanted to mention here. There seems to be this acceptance of the behavior of people who are attacking police. It's like Ferguson sort of situation. And listen, here is something that reasonable adults need to say. And this is what the people who are in charge of Minneapolis need to be saying is that, listen, even if we are, we shouldn't do this, but let's say, for the sake of argument, that the officers are guilty of whatever charges are to come. First degree murder, second degree, whatever it may be. The response to that is to not physically attack other police officers. The response to that is to not throw bottles at law enforcement. The response to that is not to block traffic for people who are trying to get to work, and if they try to get around you, attacking them. That's not a reasonable response. It doesn't matter how frustrated you are. It doesn't matter how wrong the original situation was, what an injustice it may have been. We have a system to deal with that. Well, but the system doesn't work. They haven't even given it a chance. Listen, I wouldn't say it would be right, but I could at least understand if you have a situation in which it's so clear that they're guilty and the system were, you know, this, we go through the system, the trial and everything, and the system fails. The system hasn't even been given a chance to work. In all likelihood, these individuals that are protesting are going to get exactly what they want, and that is for these people to go to prison. I imagine that's probably what's going to happen. So what is it? Why do these things? What is the point? You say, you know, no peace, no justice. You haven't even given justice a chance to play out, and you're already wreaking havoc. But and the problem is no adults stand up and say, stop this. It doesn't matter if those police officers did something they shouldn't have done. We have a system to deal with that. That does not give you permission or make it right for you to go destroy other people's lives. Or to publicly accuse every single police officer simply because they're a police officer of being guilty. This is a situation in which the accuser are doing exactly what it is that they accuse the accusee of doing. You know, the claim here is that they treat all black people alike. Well, when you call all police officers racist because of the actions of a few, you're doing the exact same thing you're accusing them of doing. Two wrongs don't make a right. There's one other aspect of this, because this will become political. If it hasn't already, this will be called Trump's America. This will be Donald Trump's fault, of course. So in that context, I want to enlighten you with something here. First, we got to get a break in. It's just going to take about 2 minutes. It's very quick. I promise you that. I'm Nick Reed, Springfield's Talk 104.1. As is often the case when there is a shooting that involves a police officer of a certain skin color, and of course this wasn't a shooting, but in Minneapolis, the death of an individual, a citizen who has a certain skin color, national attention, international attention, and no desire in any way, shape, or form to wait for any sort of conclusion at all or any sort of additional information. Declarations are made not just about that situation, but assigning the behavior of one or two individuals to an entire grouping of people, and that is law enforcement, based on their skin color. So in other words, if you have a couple of white police officers who commit some sort of violent act against an individual who is African American, that means that everybody who is a police officer that has white skin in this country is racist. And that's what is at play right now. And we are going to hear, and I'm sure it's already being said, that, you know, this is Trump's America. This is what happens in Trump's America. Well, first off, we saw plenty of this under Obama, didn't we? Anybody remember something called Ferguson? Now, I'm talking about the reaction to it. It's a completely different situation. I mean, there you had Michael Brown trying to murder a police officer, and the police officer used self-defense in order to stop it from happening. But the reaction was the same. That it's dangerous to be black in America because white police officers seek you out. But Trayvon Martin, I mean, how many of these situations took place under Obama? Yet this will be told that this is some new phenomenon that is occurring because of Trump. Have you noticed, though, that these sort of Trump America situations always happen in areas where people are born and raised with generation after generation of Democrats running the areas? They are almost completely isolated from quote unquote Trump's America. I thought, for educational purposes, since this is going to become political, I know it, and this is going to be blamed on Trump culture, we'd look at the party affiliation of the members of the city council in Minneapolis. There are 13 members on the council. Ward 1, Kevin Reich, Democrat. It's actually Democrat Farmer Labor Party. It's the Democrat Party. That's what they call it up there. Ward 2, Cam Gordon, Green Party. Certainly not a Trump person. Ward 3, Steve Fletcher, Democrat. Ward 4, Felipe Cunningham, Democrat. Ward 5, Jeremiah Ellison, Democrat. Ward 6, Abdi Warsame, Democrat. Ward 7, Lisa Goodman, Democrat. Ward 8, Andrea Jenkins, Democrat. Ward 9, Alondra Cano, Democrat. Ward 10, Lisa Bender, Democrat. Ward 11, Jeremy Schroeder, Democrat. Ward 12, Andrew Johnson, Democrat. Ward 13, Linnea Palmisano, Democrat. Every single member of the city council in Minneapolis belongs to the Democrat Party except for one, Green Party. Why is it that these incidents in which we have racist white police officers going after African Americans always tend to happen in areas that are run by Democrats? Who do you think is in charge of these police departments? By the way, the mayor, Jacob Frey, Democrat. You know, there hasn't been a mayor elected, a Republican mayor elected in Minneapolis since 1973, and he served for like one day. It was some weird maneuver thing. It wasn't a genuine election. Outside of that, there hasn't been a Republican since 1961 as mayor of Minneapolis. It is absolutely absurd, and it's sinful. And it is a lie if you're going to put this in a political context to somehow say, well, here we go again. This is what happens when Republicans are in charge, or this is Trump's America, when you have these incidents, whether it's Detroit, whether it's Ferguson, whether it's Minneapolis, wherever it is, and you look back, and most of these people who live in these areas have never once even had a Republican representative in any capacity. There isn't a single Republican in charge of their police officers. There's not a single Republican in charge of choosing the chief of police. It is Democrat, 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 and they are the first ones to say, oh, look at this. This is the result of Republicans. It is obscene how dishonest the reporting on this stuff is. It is obscene, the attempt by people, and the media, they're all part of this party, the same party. I mean, for Pete's sake, you got Joe Biden now, his comments about, you can't be black and vote Trump. You don't count as a black person unless you vote for him. He's now saying, well, I mean, Charlemagne, the host, he was being a smart mouth. That's why he said it. That's why Biden said it. So in other words, it was the black guy's fault. Being a wise guy, he said. Well, he's being a wise guy, so I gave it back to him. So now not only was he joking, but it was the fault of the black guy that Biden had to make such a comment. I don't know that there has ever been such a profound and consistent display of a political party being in opposition of the interest of a group, yet somehow managing to get collectively 80%+ of their vote. Glenn Beck's coming up next. I'm Nick Reed.